Good to be back here with you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Pastor Codner, for allowing us to come by and to be a part of the service this morning. And some of y'all might not remember me 11 years ago. How many remember where you were 11 years ago? Okay, there you go. 11 years ago, but I was single, and you probably remember seeing that old prayer card back there on the thing with just me kind of sitting there by the lonely hills of Machu Picchu kind of looking out, and maybe I was hoping to get a wife, I don't know, in that picture, but the Lord provided it, thankfully, for a wonderful wife and six children, we have five boys and one girl, and they're a real blessing, lots of energy and ready to go. I wish I had their energy, I don't know, maybe they'll rub off on me, I don't know, maybe that'll work. But glad to be here this morning, glad to hear what the Lord is doing here in this place. And thankful for what the Lord's doing in Peru. As I've shared in the Sunday school hour, the church is where we're working. This morning is having a special service. They're baptizing three folks that have been saved and desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So when a person comes out of Catholicism and identifies themselves with Jesus in that way, that's a big step of faith. Amen. And we're excited that those folks are going forward, and we've seen families changed, and we know the gospel works, still works. What we need in this day and hour is not a bunch more plans or somebody who can change America. It's about somebody who can preach the truth of the Word of God and give the truth. What we need is truth. What people are languishing for is truth. The devil wants to say there is no truth because he knows where the truth is, and he knows how he's going to end up, so he doesn't want anybody else to know that truth. But we have the truth here, the Word of God, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to preach and to be able to do the work that God's given us to do. Speaking of the church, we had an assistant pastor there. I worked with him for a short while at the church, but he's the one that started that church. You saw the church there in Pocoyai that got started, and we helped him get started. Willy Potty is doing a great job there, and God's blessing in just a little over a year, and they have several families that are coming to the church. The Lord's provided them a nicer place to be able to meet. And they still have some needs. It'll be nice one day to help them, Lord willing, get their own church building, their own place. And the thing that kills the churches there is paying rent every month. If they have their own place to go, cuts down on a lot of expenses. They can put that money towards a lot of other things. And I know probably you all know about that as well as anybody. But there especially, it's a big, big thing. I remember our church there in Arequipa that we worked in with my friend David Ramos. There, I remember the church, maybe in a month, they would take in maybe $200-$300, and probably 100 of that was spent in paying rent and water bills and light bills. So there was just a little bit left to be able to pay the pastor and others and carry on with some of the ministries. But in the church where we are, we've seen God bless. We're praying that as God strengthens our church, that we'll have daughter churches in other places, but we do believe that there's some things that in a sending church that it should have, and should have some mature people, some godly people, men and women there. And we believe that our church is growing, and they're getting to that point. But as of this point, we've not been able to have a daughter church, but that's our goal. And I believe that the Lord will allow that to be. The people are maturing. As a whole, people are being saved, that people are being added to the church. And it takes a lot of work on the base before you ever see anything above ground. It's about like the tree. The tree, before it starts really growing, has to get its root systems down there deep to be able to draw, and then it is able to grow. Down in Peru, we have problems with earthquakes. So the thing is that when they're building a house, a lot of times, and there's not big backhoe loader where you just go down and one day you just have it dug right out. You have men down there with shovels shoveling out, and finally they're getting down there, and for about a month or so, that's all they'll do all day for 5 days a week, is you see dirt flying out of the hole, and then you see buckets bringing it up, and they get down deep enough where finally they feel that they can start building, and then finally, a couple months down the road, you see things start to go up. And that's about where we are. Much work is to be done below, because if the base isn't good, the foundation is not good and strong, then when the time comes to really support something, a structure, and a difficult time comes, it's not going to be able to. But we believe that God is helping us, our people. In fact, one of our families, one of our key families in our church, felt God leading in his heart. And he actually left our church for a year, and he's helping in that church plant there and helping the pastor and doing whatever he needs. So we believe that that's the way to get done, helping people. I can't do all the work myself, but I can sure love to work alongside others and pray with others and help others getting to where they need to be, and myself praying God's will for my life and being an encouragement, and then we can all help each other in the work of God. In heaven, it's not going to be big about, wow, Brother Stover did all this, but it's going to be about what the Lord did and throwing crowns at Jesus' feet and saying, look how many people we're able to help and how many pastors we're able to encourage and churches were started that we had a hand in. We're able to train these people and encourage them and go out in that way. So that's the thing that we're really excited about and encouraged about, people in getting encouraged and getting growing in the Word of God and people giving their lives to Christ. We have several men in our church who have who desire to study more. Some of them may be even leaving this coming year to be able to go study at a Bible college there. But we're not exactly sure about all those things. But they have a desire to learn. They want to learn. They want to know more. And I believe that God, out of our church, could call a couple pastors. I believe it. And maybe start even work in the city where we are and helping them get churches started in other places. And we're excited about all those things. So please be much in prayer about all those things. I guess the main thing you learn about on the mission field after a couple terms is just how much you don't know. So you get going, you see the Lord work, and then you get to just ask in the Lord's leading, and you feel so insufficient. But it's about having a balance in the Christian life. It's about growing closer to the Lord, and it's about the Lord, the Holy Spirit, giving you the words to speak to people. If I went out with my words, I might be able to convince a couple folks. But it's if Jesus can get a hold of their life, if the Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts, there can be a real change made. And that's where we are, desiring the Lord to do that. So be much in prayer with us. We pray about that. Ezekiel chapter 22, if you take the Word of God with me this morning, and we will turn to the Ezekiel 22. We will look today, starting in verse number 28 down to verse number 31. 28 through 31 of Ezekiel 22. And when you have it, if you could stand together with me, all that can and will, and we'll read the Word of God together this morning. If you would follow along there, I'll read the even verses. I'll start out with verse 28, and if you all could read as an audience, as a congregation, the odd verses 29 and 31, and we'll read down to verse 31. I'll start in verse 28. It says, "And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Therefore,
let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness, Heavenly Father, and for all that you're doing and have done in our lives. But at this hour, dear Father, we pray that you'd help us to be able to put all distractions aside as we look to you, dear Lord, and your word, knowing that it is your precious Holy Spirit that can teach us. Help me, dear Lord, to have a heart that is right with you. Cleanse me of secret fault. Allow me, dear Lord, to share those words and to preach those words that would be edifying to the believers this morning. Pray that each one here, dear Lord, we would be able to hear the Word of God and be able to do and help us to be encouraged, dear Lord, and that it's not our strength that will accomplish the changes in our lives, but will be the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to yield ourselves to those changes, dear Heavenly Father, today, and may we walk closer to you as a result, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We see here in Ezekiel 22, and basically in many places in this book, and this is part of the major prophets. You all probably studied about that. Ezekiel is one of the major, not to major necessarily as in message importance, but in size. So we see Ezekiel's here, and he has certain messages for the folks here. And he's, of course, speaking to the people of Israel. But it's interesting down through time how many of the same problems that Israel had, or many of the things they struggled with, are the things that us as a nation here, and Peru as a nation, we're struggling with them today. Things, human's nature does not change. The devil hasn't changed. But thankfully, the Lord hasn't changed. And he can create a way, he can make a way for there to be an escape from these things. But we see some sad verses, honestly, from about verse 1 down to verse 29. It talks about a situation that looks bleak, it looks bad. There's a lot of sin that has been committed. People that have been in a bad way for a long time. And people who were once right with God, but then turned aside. And they were bringing upon themselves quick judgment. But it says in verse 30 that the Lord, I sought for a man. God was seeking. And you know, God's still seeking in this time for a man. It could be a man in this sense. It could be a man or a woman. It's not necessarily just a man, but a man or a woman that among them, it could be, in this instance, he was looking among the Israelites, but now he could be looking among our people in the United States of America, in Peru, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. It says, but I found none. There's this hedge that talks about, many times it spoke of the walls that they had in those day and times. And nothing really would change. The people were, maybe they were strong, maybe they were not so strong, but without a wall to protect them, they were in big trouble because the enemy was going to come in. And talk about the break in the hedge, that there was maybe something really strong built up, but there were some holes, there were some gaps where things were happening, and in the physical world, the enemy would be able to come in. Of course, Ezekiel's not really referring to big cities that were built up and they chinked a few rocks out of their wall, got a few gaps in there. I'm talking about the spiritual sense of the word here, these people. There was places that spiritually where one time they were pleasing the Lord, but they had left off doing. They had left off pleasing the Lord. And we see that there was left a great need. It said, but he's looking for someone to stand in the gap before me for the land. Why? That I should not destroy it. People want to talk today about a loving God. And God is love, but God is just as well. And God does not look at sin and say, well, that'll be all right. That's just a small sin. All sin is terrible before God. All sin nailed Jesus to the cross of Calvary. Jesus suffered literally. The people that go to the hell literally are suffering for their sins that they committed in hell, when in reality Jesus suffered their hell for them. We go to tell them that message so that they don't go to that place to suffer. But Jesus suffered for them all. But there were people here that had sinned. They had, and you know where it started? In verse 23, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. Talking about Israel. It says, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. He didn't start with the people. He didn't start with the heathen that had influenced them. He didn't start with some other people that had proposed some ideas that they had accepted, and because of that, they'd gone away from God. He talks about the churches, the people, the God's men, who had gone aside. And what it says, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. But what about the Bible where it says, fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls, and why? Wouldn't it have been good for them to be winning souls and helping those people to understand more about Jehovah God, the God of heaven, and to come into the temple and for it to be a nice place to be and a holy place and an environment where God was reverenced and taught and preached but what were these men doing? They devoured souls. Why? It says they have taken the treasure and precious things. They were concerned about worldly things. They were concerned about earthly things. What does God tell us about? What does Jesus share with us about this treasure? It tells us that it's going to get rusty. It's going to fade away. It tells us that we're not going to take any of it with us. That where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And the question would be, where are our hearts today? Are our hearts in heaven, where the Lord is? and desiring to see Him glorified and thinking on one day on the rewards that are being laid up and thinking one day on seeing Jesus high and lifted up and He'll be the only one in heaven with any wounds. We'll have perfect bodies. Those who are in Christ and saved and in heaven, they will have perfect bodies, but Jesus will have the wounds here in His hands and in His feet to help us remember that salvation was not free. And liberty was not free. There's a price for freedom. Just like we talk about the United States of America, the United States wasn't free just because we kind of sat on our hands. People defended and they fought and they gave their blood and they gave their life. And we should be grateful for that. But we should be exceedingly grateful for the fact that Jesus gave His life because He died for the ungodly and He gave us that opportunity. But we see these men, they were turning people aside. They were devouring instead of, come in and let me help you with your heart. They were concerned about the physical and they were taking and for themselves and were not concerned about the holiness of God. It says in verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. What does that mean? It means they made them common. Like, it's okay, God's just, it's just like, you know, you wash your clothes and you go to work and school. God, worshiping God is kind of like that. And they made it just a common thing in Israel. And God said, that does not please me. That is not right. That is not. We should have a God in a place of reverence in our lives. He should be in first place. He should be in the only place in our lives. Everything else should be a distant second. That's why Jesus said, "He that cometh after me, if he hate not his father, mother, his family, for the cause of Christ, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, he can't glorify me. He must. There's a cross to bear for serving Christ. And of course, we're talking about the hate. It doesn't mean we literally, I hate you. But our love for God and the love for others that we have should pale in comparison. It should seem like hate for the love that we have for God. But these people weren't teaching that. They weren't teaching about, boy, God is so good. He brought us across the Red Sea. And boy, He brought us out of Egypt. And look what He did there in the wilderness. And boy, isn't God good, children? And kids, come on in here so we can teach you. And it was about all about the money. Yeah, God did these things. But look at this, all this money that we need to get. And the priests and the people there were doing wrong things. It says they have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. They came to church, but it sure wasn't with the right heart. They weren't pleasing to the Lord. They weren't glorifying Him. They were there because they had to be. The priests there, maybe outwardly, everything was just right. They put their suit coat on, and they went to church, or they had their tie on, they put their nice, maybe Sunday dress on. Everyone was there, and they looked very nice outwardly, but the Lord knew their hearts inwardly. And may the Lord help us in this day and time. I believe that many, in the United States of America over the last years, much has been placed on, much emphasis on external. We have to make it right externally, but what about our internal? What about the internal? And of course, our ministry there in Peru, and we don't want folks just to come in and say, well, we got to get all these rules, and let's see, if I do this, this, and this, and I'll look like a good Christian. It's about loving the Lord. It's about letting the Lord do a work in our lives. It's about dedicating our lives to Him. It's about saying, Lord, I've done a lot of things with my life, and none of them turned out the way, honestly, Lord, and I've seen some things that You've done in my life, and boy, would you continue to work? Would You continue to do? And God is concerned about His holy things. It says that we're to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There's a beautiful thing about holiness. You know, in this day and time that people want to just say, well, we can be a little bit more like them. We can kind of drift a little more this way. We can kind of talk a little more like the world, kind of be a little bit more like them, and we'll be able to win into Jesus better. I remember in Bible college hearing our president, the pastor of the church there, Dr. Clarence Sexton, who said, the world is not interested in seeing a cheap imitation of itself. It's really not interested in it. And people might say, oh, yeah, oh, well, we can come in. But what about preaching the name of Jesus? What about naming sin? What about preaching the Word of God faithfully and telling people, reaching people where they are and showing love to them, but not compromising our message? God didn't give us a message to just go ahead and say, well, this doesn't seem right. Let me see today. I don't think that message is real good for this day and time. God, it's good for all time. God said that His Word will endure to all generations. He's gave it. It's like words tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. They're pure words. You can't get any purer than God's Word. You can't get any more truthful than God's Word. It's right here. But you know, these priests and these people, they had the opportunity to share with these people and say, you know what, God has been so good to us. And if we don't continue to follow Him, we don't continue to love Him, you know, God is not going to be happy. and our families are not going to be blessed, and our land's not going to be blessed, and you know what? God is going to destroy us. They didn't tell them that because they were too busy getting all these things for themselves. It says in verse number 27, or says her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. You ever seen a wolf? Those things are terrible. They go out and just rather ferocious, and they grab it and they eat it, and just grabbing and just concerned about themselves, not worried about anybody, but worried about devouring and having for themselves. It's like that's what the chief people are. That's what they're concerned about. Instead of helping the poor and encouraging folks and sharing with them the good news, they're out there ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. But you know what? By the help of the Lord, that's not our job. That's not the place where the Lord wants us to be. We're not to be devouring people. We're not to be living an angry life. I'm really upset about the way things are going. It's about living a Spirit-filled life. God's not defeated. God's not dead. People might want to say, well, God's dead. God is not dead. He continues on, and He continues ruling and reigning in the lives of men and ruling and showing the way. But it's about having our lives conform to His image. Verse 28 says, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So lies. But the people don't need to hear lies today. There's a lot of political agendas, and people are telling things, but they're not based on biblical principles. You know that in our forefathers, they founded our country on biblical principles, and they thought, well, everybody, every common sense individual who looks and sees is going to think that these are our principles that we want to build a country on. Who's not going to? God is God. He is the Lord of heaven. But in this day and time, we've shifted from that. But the truth hasn't changed. God is still strong. He's able. And God is able to raise us up. I honestly believe that. I believe that God wants that we can see a revival in this day and time. I share with our people in Peru, there are people not with a godly heritage. You hear about the Incans and the folks there. They were not a godly people. They were a very pagan people who worshipped idols and sacrificed their children and committed hideous things and just kind of incorporated Catholicism into all that. So paganism and Catholicism just combined together. And down through, it's not been a system or anything that has glorified the Lord. And for that, there's not been a lot of spiritual blessings on Peru, but we've seen in these times that God is starting to work, and we see some people being raised up. We see some people getting saved. We see some churches going forward, some people desiring. And the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what? The Peruvians look up to the United States of America. They look up to the United States of America. You are having an example. Well, nobody's really looking at me, but the churches here are an example to prove that we share what God has done and the heritage and things that God has done, the revivals that have been carried out through the years, what the Lord has done. And they say, wow, that's wonderful. And they look up and they say, wow, we want to have churches that glorify God like that. We want to be faithful people like that. We want to be able to preach the Word of God. We want our children to be brought up in a godly society like that. That's what we want. That's what we desire. So here in this place, you all are being an example, whether you know it or not. In other places, they're looking to the United States of America. The fact that when the sodomite marriage was legalized, that they, in, can you believe it? The very next day, they were having some sort of pride parade. They're in Tacna, saying, "The United States did it. It must be all right then." And then they came around asking me if I was for it and all that. But you know what? They're looking to the United States of America and many things. And I believe that we need to point them and say, you know what? This is what God has done. There's no man that stood up and said, well, I'm going to make the United States. God made us great. God made our nation great. And the only reason that we're great still is because there's still a remnant of folks who have stayed true to God's principles, to God's divine word. And you know what? Who knows that if maybe it was the people back in the 1930s or the 40s or the 50s or maybe somebody back in the 1920s, God is still remembering their prayers that they prayed. They said, oh, bless our nation, Lord. Oh, Lord, would you please bless my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? I probably will never know them, but Lord, would you please raise your hand? And God honors prayers of people that whose hearts are after Him. And it says here that they were lies. saying, well, this is this, that, and the other, and God said it when God did not say it. It says that, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. It's sad when there's a message that folks speak that is not a godly message. We hear a message in Peru, and it's much of it is be as good as you can. It's go to church as much as you can. It's try to pull yourself up by your bootstrap. You're okay. Just everybody's going to go to heaven. I went to a funeral. The sister-in-law of one of the young men in our church, 23 years old, she passed away from complications with the pregnancy. And she wasn't saved, was not saved. Went suddenly like that. But I went to her funeral, and there was the Catholic priest up there saying, well, all of us are going to cross at one time or another, but don't worry, we'll all end up in heaven. And it's a terrible, horrible message that they're giving people, letting them be confident in their sin. But you know, we have the truth. We have the truth. And there's been people who have been turned aside, and people who are saying lies, but we need not really dwell on that, but say, Lord, what do you have for me to do so that I might stand up and do right? You know, God is searching for a person. God is searching for a person to pray. I believe that as a churches, as myself and all of our, as the preacher said, all of our failures are prayer failures. Failures to pray. You read about the men of God down through the years who they got up and they prayed and they got a hold of God. George Mueller, who saw great answers to prayer. See Charles Spurgeon, who he said, Brother Spurgeon, somebody asked him, why is it that you are so blessed and your messages are so powerful and people come to hear? He said, the simple fact is that my people pray for me. And people prayed for him. His people prayed. And when he preached underneath the platform there, he had men down in a cellar praying that the lost would come to Christ during that time, during that message. They were concerned about those people. And I believe that God desires to do something in and through us. All is not lost. All is not lost. God is still on the throne. A lot of people want to talk about, well, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's true. But it didn't say God would wax less and less. You know, we have the power of God. We can have the power of God. It's about saying, Lord, getting down low and saying, Lord, I'm not anybody. I can't do it in my own strength. But Lord, would you make me a blessing out of my life? I love that song where it talks about, make me a blessing to someone today. Make me a blessing, Lord. And help me to, and we can't be a blessing in and of ourselves, but the Lord can make us a blessing to other people. It says the Lord is seeking for a man that should make up the hedge. The question would be, would you make up the hedge? You know, there's not just one place, honestly, that need our prayers. Of course, we need it in our families. We see, if I had time to share about the family system in Peru, and that's the first thing the devil goes for. To get a hold of the family and to take it out, and you don't know where mom or dad is, you don't know where the children should be, and this mom, this family has about five or six other children that were with another person, and you talk about it, and it's a sad thing. But you know, we need to be praying for our families. We need to stand in the gap. You probably know family members. I know I have family members that don't know Jesus as their Savior. We need to be standing in the gap. We need to be standing in the gap for our children, for our families that we have now, that the Lord would use them and help them and protect them in this day and time. And to stand in the gap for our churches. You need to be praying for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. I don't know how many stories since I've been gone of pastors that have fallen into sin and churches that have been destroyed because of the pastor falling away and members of the church falling into sin. But, you know, we need to be praying for one another because the devil comes. He's going to tempt. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil has a lot of things going, but you know what? The Lord on our side. Against us, there's nobody that can fight against us. If someone said, you know, God and I are a majority, but you know, God's the majority, and we just kind of jump in on God's side. It doesn't matter about us. He could have it, do it with or without us. He wants to do it with us, but you know what? If we're not doing it, God's going to search out someone else who will. So what a privilege, though, to serve in the Lord's work. What a privilege to stand in the place. Could you imagine? We had a dear pastor who came through from Chile. He came and preached at our church the last Sunday that we were there before we left. And he preached so openly about how literally we as a people standing in the gap can put our hands up. And you know the judgment of God is coming, but we can literally with our prayers and with our consecration to God and our intercession for others, we can literally stand up and say, Lord, please spare your hand of judgment, and please don't, oh Lord, have mercy. And literally, the Bible shows Moses, think about Moses, they literally stayed the hand of God. People that didn't know, they were sinning, and like, well, it doesn't matter, that person. But they loved and said, you know, these people matter to me, and you pray for those who don't know, that the Lord might stay his hand of judgment. He's looking for a person that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap. What about in our communities, in our nation, to pray and to stand in the gap for our nation? It's not going to involve us thinking, well, they need to see us way up here. They need to see Jesus way up here. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus needs to be lifted up, oh, so very, very high. He needs to be lifted up. That the glory of God, maybe, you know God loves to receive glory. You know, he loves that. He loves when his people praise him. Do you know that if some morning you wake up and like, I don't know what to pray, just start praising the Lord. Start thanking him for all the things he's done in your life. Start just praising him. Thank you, Lord, for this and that. And you've given me a nation. And you could get on and get going. And the Lord moves in because he loves to hear the praise of his people. You start there, you continue right on, and the Lord loves to hear that. May we give praise to God wherever we are. May we ask the Lord to use us wherever we may be. It says, in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. It was impending doom. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when, that the land was going to feel the wrath of God. And they did feel the wrath of God. Because why? But he says here, but I found none. I didn't find anybody. I didn't find anybody to stand there for the folks. I didn't find anybody to stand on that watchtower and be faithful for the folks there. And, you know, we might not know many of the people throughout this area, but, you know, I believe that our prayers can make a big difference. I believe that our prayers and prayers for missionaries, prayers for the lost in our community, prayers for our president. You know, it speaks of there in the book of 1 Timothy that we're to pray for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray that God would give them wisdom. Even the wickedest of leaders, King Ahab, he humbled himself before God. Can you imagine? At the end of his life, there was a time when Ahab humbled himself before. He did a bunch of wicked things, and God judged him. But you know what? There was a time when he humbled himself before God, and God said, you know what? I won't bring the evil in your day, Ahab. It'll come in your son's day. But he saw his humbleness before him. So in some ways, God has a way of revealing himself and even the evilest of people. And you may say, well, this time so corrupt and so many. But you know, we need to pray for our leaders that God would give wisdom, because God can do miracles. God can do, he's the one that if you read some of the stories of the founding of our country, there were miracles that took place. We shouldn't have even hardly gotten out of the Revolutionary War. They should have captured Washington and put all his men down right there around New York City and squashed them all. But the Lord miraculously rescued them. They got across the East River and got on out of there. And the Lord, they won the victory. And ever since then, you can see the hand of God throughout. I believe it's because men prayed. Literally, when Washington was there on the East River and he was trapped in, and he prayed, Lord, I don't know how we're going to get out of here. But they had some oarsmen from Massachusetts. And they started rowing men across the river. And they're about 5,000 or so they needed to get out. And they got about all of them out, but they had still had five more loads of them to get them out that morning. And there was an old guy that was loyal to the king, and he ran and went down to the Hessians down there, to a group of them, and said, hey, they're doing this. Hey, listen here. They didn't understand English. They threw the guy inside an old building somewhere and didn't want to hear him. And you know what? They got out. You know, the fog came through, and it was just the fog stay right over that little place. They got over the river, the fog cleared. And the British, well, what have we done? God did that. God's done that because those men got down and said they took some bad losses. But you know what they did? They got down before God and said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. But we just want to see you do something wonderful here. We're in your hands. We're nothing. We're not powerful. May you do that. And that's how we need to just say to the Lord, Lord, we're not powerful. It's not by might, not by power. We'll never be that way. It never has been that way. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, it's not our power that will bring people to Christ. It will be the love of Christ. It'll be the love of Christ amongst ourselves here, praying for one another. And they say, wow, I don't understand that. That's something I don't understand. You know, in the world, they say, well, now that stuff, that God stuff, you know. But, you know, the first place they come when something goes wrong in their lives, it's because it's the people, looking for the people. Well, I think he said he knew about God. Or he lives a different life, she lives a different life. And here they come. May the Lord help us, folks, to stand in the gap in this day and time. There's never been a needier moment. There's never has been. We need to pray that God would do something wonderful. I'll share just this and we'll close. F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer is a wonderful man of God, and he shared a lot of, has written a lot of books and such, but he told a Bible truth. He said, you know, I've learned something throughout my life. Something I thought, according to my mind, that would be true would be that as I grew in my Christian walk, that the Christian spiritual level I obtained would be found by gaining truth higher above me. And that as I went up higher and higher, I would know more and more of God. He said, I found that not to be true. Because I found it that the lower and lower I get, the more I find out of God. The more I humble myself, the more God does a work. The more these things happen. Think about John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. Folks, may we stand in the gap. May it might be necessary for us to decrease a little, that Jesus might be lifted up, that he might be glorified. Lift up Jesus today. Pray for your missionary. Pray for those here. We need the prayers of God's people. We need to intercede now more than ever that God might do a wonderful work in our lives. And may the Lord receive the glory. May people around this area glorify God and say, wow, those folks, and they say, I don't know how it happened, but glory be to God. That's what God wants. That's what he's excited about. And that's what and you say, come and hear in the message and the gospel, we must needs be prepared. We must needs be prayed up, read up, and ready and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, ready to do the work of God. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, dear Lord, and thank you for this message. It's in many ways a sad message, dear Lord, to these people, but it's a good message, dear Lord, and a message that needs to be heard. Help me, dear Father, to be a person that would be more desiring to stand in the gap, to decrease instead of increase, that Jesus might increase in my life. May the Holy Spirit of God be manifest in our lives, dear Father. Dear Lord, we need, on the mission field, we need the prayers of God's people interceding. We need the help of God's people in that way holding the ropes. I thank you so much for this church, dear Lord, and their kindness, their prayers, and their support over the last years, dear Lord. I thank you so much for that. And dear Father, but I pray that you'd raise up laborers in this place and prayer warriors who would continue on for you. Dear Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior and who cannot stand in the gap because they've not yet been made that decision for Christ, I pray that today would be their happy day of salvation. Father, would you help us today to grow that we might be able to stand in the gap and serve you in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.